Final hour to go. We got to mention this headline's brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. You know what they say at Buddy's Goodies and Glass? Everybody knows. It's always 420 at Buddy's. Headlines of the day. Seahawks are back on the practice field today. And Curtis told me that the quarterback number 3 will speak today. Curtis, at what time is he going to speak today?
Sometime after practice, so hour and a half, give or take.
So about 1:30-ish?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
All right. And if you missed it the other day, on Monday, Slick and I did a mock interview, what it should sound like, where I played the role of the media asking questions to Russell Wilson. And then Slickock played the character of Russell Wilson. It should be up on the podcast at sportsradiokjr.com. Download the iHeartRadio app, favorite our show, and it'll be up there. And Slick nailed it. But he will answer questions for the first time today since the whole off-season soap opera involving him. Hey, PGA Scoreboard Leader Update brought to you by Circling Raven Golf Course in Worley, Idaho. Visit cdacasino.com. No change. Doc Redman, Dustin Johnson, your leaders. There at 6 under. All right, we have a lot going on in this hour. Ryan Leaf's going to join us here momentarily, but we got to give away another $100 because it's an EQC Note Thursday. We gave away $200 in Nathan White because it carried over from the morning show at 10 a.m. We gave away $100 to Joe Ratchich from Aberdeen. Now we get to give away another $100 to another lucky listener that texted in the last hour. Now let me get my timer set up here, Curtis. Before you give me the name. All right, I'm all set. What's the name for the 12 o'clock hour?
The name for the 12 o'clock hour is Rob Kerr from Ording.
Rob Kerr, related to Steve Kerr from Ording. Rob Kerr, the clock is started. Rob Kerr from Ording has 5 minutes to call in at 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. Rob Kerr. From Ording, 5 minutes to call in to collect your $100 on an EQC Note Thursday, brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. If you know a Rob Kerr, text him, call him. If he's on the app, since it's behind, we can't sync the app up.
3 minutes, the guy from Aberdeen was
apparently
saying that.
I mean, I don't know, guys, we're giving away $100. Maybe we should have synced the whole damn thing up.
Rob Kerr might be playing high cedars right now.
He could be in Ording, or because he's in Ording, he's drinking.
Could be.
Is it Ording? I feel like Ording does that.
Man, that so you're out there a ways in Ording, but boy, that road going from...
Hey, we got him. This is unbelievable.
That he's here already?
Not even a minute. Hey, Rob Kerr, before we get to Leaf. Rob Kerr, how are you from Ording?
I'm well. How are you?
We're doing. So you must have not been listening on the app. You were probably listening on the old school radio.
I am. I'm actually picking up product for my job, and I actually had to run back to my truck and turn on the radio just to hear my name.
I love a good old school radio, don't you? I've got several old radios around my house. I love it. It's more dependable than that damn app at times. What kind of work do you do, Rob?
I'm a chief engineer at a building.
A chief engineer at a building.
Yes.
Can we get a little bit more description? I mean, come on, Rob, a little bit more description than just a chief and engineer at a building. I mean, what are you doing?
We do maintenance, so HVAC, electrical, plumbing, et cetera. Make right. everything work.
Okay, what are you going to spend that $100 on the Emerald Queen Casino?
Don't know yet.
Yeah, well, you know.
Probably a good bottle of scotch.
Good bottle. What's your favorite bottle of scotch, Rob Kerr from Ording?
That's a Macallan 18 or Highland Park 18.
This guy. All right.
Nice.
That's some good living right there. Get that stuff and enjoy your weekend. Rob, hey, man. We appreciate you listening. Rob Kern Ording, he won $100 from the Emerald Queen Casino. We're 3 for 3 today. Rob, before we let you go back in the truck, you know the game. What's the phrase that pays?
KJR is the ultimate radio station.
There we go, Rob. You nailed it. Thank you, Rob. Rob Kerr from Ording.
There you go, Rob.
$100 from the Emerald Queen Casino. Big thanks to the Emerald Queen Casino. Stay tuned now. Text now your first and last name, city where you're from, and then Ian is going to draw another name out at 1 o'clock. Ian will give away two $100 to the Emerald Queen Casino. So text it now. You have the whole hour to get it in now. First and last name, city where you're from. Text it into 49451 right now, and then Ian and Shockey will draw a name out at 1 o'clock on an EQC Note Thursday, thanks to the Emerald Queen Casino. All right, let's go to the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, our good friend who's been with us several times. The man is a multimedia superstar now. I mean, he's doing satellite shows. He's got his own YouTube show, the RDL show. That's going strong. He'll plug that as he joins us. It's our good friend Ryan Leaf, who's with us right now. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
I'm good, fellas. KJR, the ultimate station, right?
Yeah,
$100 or something.
That's the phrase that pays. It changes. Right. It changes every single time. And you got a special. Not only you have one Coug, but you got two Cougs because Jim Moore, the go-to guy, is here.
I see that. I was really looking forward to the fact that Jim was going to be on the show today. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ryan. Likewise, man. My computer right now is on 1997 Apple Cup. I'm just reliving that. Do you still relive that, Ryan? Because that was the greatest day in Cougar history.
I mean, some of my buddies and I just, we'll talk about it. We don't think about it much. I've been recording my testimonial. I launched a podcast called Bust that's going to come out this fall, and we're recording the college experience right now. So yeah, the Apple Cup is at the forefront of my mind right now because we've been talking about it a lot. Kevin Connolly, who's my producer on it, and he didn't know much about it. Of course, he knew about football, but he's just ate up this. He's going to be an honorary Cougar when this thing's all said and done.
Wait, is that the same Kevin Connolly from Entourage?
Yeah, E. He just had a little baby girl the other night. He's a dad now, so we're having some fun with this. We think it's going to help a lot of people and be a great testimonial in storytelling.
Well, Ryan, I think it's interesting that you're calling it Bust because that has a negative connotation as it pertains to you. And so, how'd you come up with that?
It just takes the power away. I mean, it's like Eminem in the movie 8 Mile. He shows up and throws all his garbage out in front of everybody, and no one else can come back at him. And it, you know what? I don't care about it, right? And it's going to get more eyeballs on it, more eardrums on it when it's out a name like that. So hey, I'm in media now too, right? I got to think about selling something. I got to work with advertisers, and that's a good way to do it. It doesn't mean anything to me. It means a lot to other people, but it doesn't mean anything to me. And I get a kick out of it when people try to come back at it. I'm like, yeah, man, that's the name of my podcast. I get it. Yeah. Let's get unoriginal next time.
What would you again? And tell us about the show again. Plug the times and then how many days a week it airs. The RDL show. It's a live show you do every day. I love it. I mean, eventually when KJR kicks me out of here, which is going to be soon. I know. I just know it's happening soon. I'm doing exactly what you're doing. This live show that you're doing on YouTube. What are the days again and the hours?
It's Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 12:30 noon to 1:30 Pacific. We've been going strong since March 1st. Got a good group of guys. Just, we talk sports, but I usually open the show with, some life skills and life experience and stuff. Been struggling a little bit with my mental health the last couple of weeks, kind of watching how Naomi Osaka is dealing with it and how people really shamed her immediately. And we need to continue to put it out there in a huge spotlight so people, when they feel this and they're going through something, they do not feel scared to actually talk about it in fear of being shamed by people. And I love the response by the media and other people after they figured out that what the French Open and what the Grand Slam committees were doing was actually shaming a young woman who was experiencing some mental illness, and so I've been talking about that a lot the last few weeks on my show.
Hey Ryan, I'm going to pivot real quick to that here for just a second, because I am very intrigued by that story with her, and so let's just walk through this, and I don't want to sound ignorant at all to it, but I also want to be educated on it as well when it comes to her. And so I see a girl who, first of all, I applaud her for speaking out about it. She clearly has some issues that are going on in her life. And to me, when I read her story and heard her, and read her post, that it's not just about dealing. It felt this way to me. It's not just dealing with the media, that she had something much bigger going on in her life that she needs to try and solve and get better at, and whatever mental struggles and emotional struggles she's going with. On the flip side of it, though, in dealing with the media, the one thing maybe I just didn't agree with, I thought that there was a little bit of a crutch using, hey, I don't want to do the media because we're being asked the same questions, the dumb questions, the repetitive questions, and all that. So there was one side of me saying, yeah, but you are paid handsomely, and part of the job is to answer questions from the media. And I was wondering later on, does it become a, you know, if she never does an interview, does it become a competitive advantage for her and then a disadvantage to her opponents if she never has to do anything, but yet her opponents have to answer questions? Is it part of a professional athlete or in a college athlete to the responsibility to talk to the media after a game or a match?
No, it's not their responsibility. They've been doing this since they could walk. It's what gives them an escape. It's what they love to do. They didn't get into playing tennis or playing football or whatever sport you become a professional. You don't get into that so you can then talk to the media. It becomes a part of it. It's a part you don't want. It just becomes accepted. It became accepted over time. And I think she's just shined a light on the fact that it's not necessary with the athlete and their platforms, with their social media and their ability to speak out on their own. You know, I'm entering a journalistic world and in terms of what I'm doing and with my analysis and stuff, and that kind of puts me at a disadvantage if athletes no longer want to come on my platform to talk about it, but rather keep that to themselves and just do what they want to do. So I'm an advocate for the athlete. I don't necessarily feel like they. I mean, if you recall Ricky Williams when he was playing, he had so much social anxiety. He had to do his interviews with that helmet on because he was so uncomfortable, and it gave him so much anxiety. I can't imagine what his central nervous system was like and what it was going through so many of those times. It's just some people are different, and not everybody's the same, and you have to be open-minded to the mindset, because just because they're a great tennis player doesn't mean they are not dealing with the same kind of issues and things that everybody else is on a daily basis. Just because you're making millions and millions of dollars and you're one of the world's greatest tennis players doesn't mean you're not still this flawed human being. And I think that just gets lost so much when the pedestal rises and rises and rises. And I definitely was in a scenario like that where I look back on how I dealt with the media and how uncomfortable it made me and how different I had to behave outside of myself to get through those things. Back then, 20 years ago, everybody looked at me as like, you know, this is your job. You should be happy that you're doing it. And so I've had to take a look at how I dealt with things and how I've gone about things and how I'm going to go about things in the future when I'm interviewing these young men and women in my new career. It's important. I have to take a look in the mirror and see how I address these things as well.
I think another time we should have you on and just do the full segment on this, because we can't cover this in 6-7 minutes.
Yeah.
It would be unfair. Let me we wanted you on to talk about the name, image, and likeness, and then there's the news on the college football playoff. Let me just get to the name, image, and likeness here for a second. They're up on Capitol Hill the other day talking about this. 5 states are going to put this into effect coming up on July 1st. Good thing, obviously, for college football, or excuse me, college athletics in general. Do you see any problems with it all? With it at all looming for the sport?
I mean, I'd like to see a federal law passed. That would be most beneficial for everybody, because if every state has something different, it could be more advantageous for certain states, of course. So I'd like a blanket law that exists, or a bill that exists that states the name, image, and likeness, and it's uncapped. It allows an open market for any player to profit off his name, image, and likeness, or her name, image, and likeness. I think that's every bit as appropriate. I don't think this is something that should be incredibly feared, but it is, because anything new and change is always feared. I don't think it will make that much of a difference. The recruiting is what it is right now. I think it will open up. You had me on the show a year ago talking about this, and I think that it could actually do benefits for some smaller market teams, because the likes of Alabama. I was just in West Virginia speaking at an event with Nick Saban, and him and I had this conversation at the table around it. I said, this may open something up for like Washington State, because they could go and steal one of your five-star guys, because they can sell them on, hey, in Pullman, you'll be the only five-star guy. And we have a local car dealership that I bet would love to have you as their ambassador, where you go to Alabama and you're going to be one of 15 guys, and you may get, you know, one piece of the pie. Where you go to Pullman, you might actually get a larger piece of that pie for your name, image, and likeness. And so there may be able to, smaller market teams, smaller venue facilities may be able to steal some of these Power Five players. And I think it could ultimately kind of wash everything out. And I think it's a big reason why the College Football Playoff Committee is looking to expand to allow more in case there is a tilt in one way or the other. Or it may make it more bland in terms of not these elite four teams every year. Now, they ultimately may be the ones that are playing for the championship, but you may have more competitive natures in every conference as well as the group of five. That's why they're looking at 12.
Well, Ryan, how would you set it up as far as giving money to these athletes? Would you just let the athlete himself or herself get the lion's share of that money? Or in Georgia, they're talking about having 75% and splitting it among other athletes.
Well, I mean, then you go into a unionized thing, right? Where it's collectively bargained almost, where everybody gets a share of the piece of this. This is not going to be a thing that there's going to be a ton of money available to. It really isn't. I really don't believe that to be true. I think there's going to be a couple players that this is going to affect greatly. What it's going to do, it's going to allow the place kicker from UCF to stay on and use his YouTube channel and advertise on his YouTube channel and monetize it instead of getting his scholarship stripped and being found ineligible. That's what this is going to do. There's going to be so many different other venues, Instagram and TikTok, those types of things in social media now, that are going to grow and grow and grow, and these players are going to be able to monetize it, where before they weren't able to do that. The NCAA would shut that down, or they would make them ineligible or have to take their scholarship away. Those types of things is what's going to blossom, I really do. I don't think for a minute people who are good businessmen around big-time programs or around small-time programs, it doesn't matter, they've been great businessmen. They're not going to invest a ton of money in a 17-year-old kid coming to campus without knowing anything about them. I could see maybe a year after performing that they may want to invest something in them in terms of sponsorship or endorsement or something like that. I also used something that I used to do when I was in college, where I would go get my haircut every week down at the local barbershop down on Main Street in Pullman. And I could just see that local businessman going, hey, Ryan comes down every Tuesday night or every Thursday night. How about I advertise it? I give him his haircut for free, throw him a couple extra bucks. A bunch of people come down and listen to Ryan talk about last week's game, and then maybe stick around and get haircuts. Not only do they benefit from the advertisement, but they may be able to get some new business. I can see those types of things happening for, you know, the elite players on the team. So I don't think this is a larger picture. I'm sure there's going to be a way for people to try to manipulate and make things bigger than they are. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, I think this is going to be more of an opportunity for these players to monetize their platforms and make money that way through their name, image, and likeness.
It's moving over to the College Football Playoff expansion. It's been reported that they will recommend 12 teams. The six conference champions, so five Big Five or Power Five, and then the highest non-Power Five, and then six at large. You like this?
You know, I've been hesitant the last few years. I thought it was an elite group that would make it to the Final Four, but last year really flipped the script because it showed how corrupt the committee kind of was. Because every year there's equality, maybe not absolute equality, but everybody plays a conference schedule and a non-conference schedule. Last year, they were looking at putting a team in like Ohio State that only played five games, where USC would ultimately go into the Pac-12 championship undefeated and was not even highly ranked. They don't blow it against Oregon. There would have been a real argument for them to be able to be in that as an undefeated Power 5 champion. So I just thought it was a great opportunity for the committee, if there was any year, to expand it last year, to allow some teams that you may not know of because there wasn't enough of a sample size to make it happen. And they didn't do it. So I want to see that. And I also thought immediately that once those announcements start to happen on those Tuesdays about the College Football Playoff, once your team is announced and you see where you're at, you know right away whether you're in the mix or not. And you almost don't, if you know you don't have a chance, you stop watching, you stop cheering for your team, you stop really paying attention. When it's 12 teams, more people are going to pay attention. They're going to pay attention for longer. They're going to be involved. Now, hey, Alabama may play a group of five team in the second round and absolutely obliterate them, but they've absolutely obliterated people in the national semifinals. So that's not going to change. The same two teams may end up in the national championship every single year, maybe Alabama-Clemson every single year or Alabama-Ohio State. But it will make college football better. It'll be more inclusive. More people would be excited about it for longer, and that's exactly what I want. So I've kind of changed my tune on this, and I didn't know about the 12. I didn't know if that was too many. I thought 8 was a good number. But, I mean, if they want to take it to 12, I'm okay with that as well.
Awesome stuff. We'll spend some more time talking about the other issues, especially with Naomi Osaka, I think, later on. But great to hear from you again. Good stuff. Keep up the great work on the show, and we'll talk soon.
You bet, fellas. Have a great day. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
There it is. Ryan Leaf with us again. Follow him on Twitter, and also check out his new show that's on YouTube, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 12:30 to 1:30 on YouTube, the RDL Show. We'll react to that. The College Football Playoff Committee has just sent out their official press release. We'll share with you what they said coming up next.